lives at 91 South Street. And Jane has an interesting story to tell of the 1953 tornado. She was right in the middle of it and has been thinking about it, I'm sure, for the last 30 years or so. But we'll start off with actually what happened in the tornado. Maybe what when you started out that day, what day was it?
Tuesday.
Tuesday in June, right?
June the 9th.
1953. And did you have any warning? Did Westboro have any warning a tornado was coming?
Not at all. After the tornado, we still didn't know what had hit us.
What time did the tornado come in, or what were you doing, and how did this all start off?
I was going out to eat with my bridge club. We saved our quarters and went out to eat once a year, I guess. And I was giving the children an early dinner
and
so
what,
that I could go out.
What about, time?
This was about 5. It all happened about 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, of course, wasn't home. He was at the barn.
Okay. And your husband, Bob Harvey, at that point had a cattle business and was...
A dairy. Yes.
Right across...
Yes, back
across
at Jim's
street.
House.
And what number South Street was it?
120.
120. So he was in the barn taking care of the cattle and the cows.
Yes.
And you were in the house with your children.
Yes.
Then what?
Well, the children were at the table eating. I had the baby in my arms. And the wind began to blow. And it got dark. And that was all the warning we had. I went to the front of the house to close the doors, and as I came back, this side of our house was mostly windows, had a big bay window, and I saw one of the trees from the side of the house going down the driveway, the whole tree. It uprooted the whole tree and was carrying it right down the driveway.
Now, all you saw was wind? This is what, I mean, the effects of the wind?
Yes.
And
I didn't see any funnel or anything like
just
that.
Just a tree.
I didn't hear
moving.
Anything, yes. What alarmed me was the tree. And there were these were great big maple trees. And my thought was, if one of those trees falls on the house, we could be hurt. So we went down cellar. The cellar door was right off the kitchen.
This is how many children now did you have?
Four.
Four. And
the baby and three little boys.
And their ages?
The baby was 3 months to the day. And Ben was 4, Bill was 7, and Bobby was 9.
Now, was there anything on the radio or nothing of any warning?
Even if we'd had the radio on, they were not conscious. They didn't give report. They never had a tornado here.
Something.
it's very, very different. It just never occurred to them that
now,
there would be a tornado. Now, of course, they're very conscious of it.
When you looked out the window, was it dark?
Yes, very.
Almost as if, had you seen anything like it before?
No.
Was it like a hurricane dark? Or you knew it was different?
Yes, I did. The wind was different, and it was very dark, that's all I can say.
I reacted
in a different way.
You did.
Storms
you
do not bother me.
There was something.
Why
inside.
I went down cellar, well, I believe that I was sent down cellar with my children. I've never done it before, and I've never done it since.
So once, what happened once you got down cellar?
Well, let me tell you first. We were going, the boys were walking down ahead of me, and they got about down to the bottom of the stairs, and they said, oh, it's so dark down here. So I sent the eldest one back for a flashlight, if you can imagine. And then when he came back with the light and shone it ahead of us and we went down, we barely got to the bottom of the cellar. We had no time to think. You know, they tell you which corner you're supposed to go in. I don't remember what it was, but anyway, it didn't make any difference because we had barely reached the bottom when the whole house went off.
Actually lifted
the
right
whole
up.
Thing. Now, over our heads, there was an enormous freezer, an old-fashioned freezer, a roll-top desk, two soapstone set tubs, an iron radiator, and nothing came down.
They just flew.
We got hit. I got hit on the back of the leg, but it was from the cellar stairs, which of course came down, fell in. But everything else went over there in the field.
So the tornado actually hit your house square or whatever and picked it up.
Just like in the Wizard of Oz, when you saw everything going around in the air. It just took it right off.
And you were...
The foundations, and we were just there in the cellar. First we were in total darkness, and the next thing we were out in the open.
And how long? Just a few minutes?
Well, yeah, it was over right away.
Were you still going down the cellar stairs, or had you gone? You had.
We were just at the bottom.
Just at the bottom.
Yes.
When this whole thing happened.
Yes. And then we kind of stood there, and of course didn't know what was going on or what to do, and we could hear the gas escaping from the pipes. My first thought was, why doesn't somebody turn off the gas? I thought that everybody should be aware of our predicament and that the gas should be turned off. And the thing of it was, my friends on the other side of town never knew anything about it. They were still going out to dinner.
Your bridge club was carrying on.
Yes, the girls on the other side of town.
Had no idea.
No. That's how localized the whole thing was.
Now, do you know what the path was, Jane? It came across.
Yes.
How did it come?
It came right over Round Top. You know Round Top over here, this little O'Neill Drive?
Round Top, right.
It did some damage up there in the O'Neill Drive area. It skipped over the houses on Ruggles Street and then came down here and cut a swath right through
came
here.
Came right across the fields on Ruggles.
Right straight across from Ruggles over here to
South Street.
Yeah.
Now, your in-laws' house, was that?
Yes, that
here?
Was right over where at 120 where Jim lives. And
next
that,
to you? Was that next house to you?
No, that was on the other side. There was a field just like there is now on this side. And the next house is still standing. Not the new one. That's where Bob's parents built after the tornado. But the other house was still standing. There's a little house on this side where Keefs live. That was still standing. Mm-hmm.
But
then the house across the street went down, of course. There were five along across
five
the street.
Five houses that got hurt. Now, do you know?
But that's not counting mine. Six. On
six
this
altogether.
Side.
Yeah. All along the same side of South Street then that?
Yeah, it was more not. It didn't go down South Street, it went across South Street.
But across the street, but enough to hit six houses or affect them.
Mm-hmm.
Was yours the worst, or were the others demolished as well?
I don't know. Yeah, they all had to come down and be rebuilt. I think, though, some of the others was still standing. For some reason, ours just went completely down. That was all that made that spectacular.
Sure. Yeah. Do you know who they were? Who owned the different houses at the time?
Yeah. Quinn's. I'm going to begin not right straight across the street because they've changed. Quinn's over there, and they rebuilt, and they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And Harvey's, and they rebuilt, and they're still there. The next one is Cassinari's. And that was a two-family house. Cassinari's rebuilt and stayed there, and Kane's, Francis Kane, who lives up on the...
But they,
But anyway, the Kane's and the Cassinari's lived there. And then...
Street.
Yeah, Carneys were across the street.
No,
they've gone now.
The Quinn's house, where was
that's
that?
That's the green, the one with the peeling paint over there.
All right, so that's where it kind of started, then you were going across,
down
toward, almost to the groves, did it stop? Is that where those houses?
The one, this side of that, the water that goes across there.
The brook.
The brook.
Okay, so it was...
there was one house left on this side.
Quite a long, quite a large.
I'm sure it tells somewhere and all that material
now,
I had.
Tell me about your husband, who was out in the barn at this point. What happened to him?
Well, the wind was blowing so hard that he tried to close the big barn doors, the big double barn doors, and couldn't get them closed. He started for the house, either his mother's or ours, wherever he could get. And the wind was so strong, he couldn't walk up the barn driveway, which of course was right into it. So he hung on to the railing, a pipe that was in the cement, which made a railing to go up the milk house steps. And he stayed there and watched things blow around his head. And the barn went down, of course.
Barn was blown down too?
Well, practically, yeah. We lost every building on our two places. We had a big barn, chicken houses. Every building was blown down.
So it was your house, your in-law's house, that was Emery Harvey, right? A big barn, chicken houses? Just one barn, though, between the two houses?
No, we had a barn here that we did not keep cattle in, and then the cattle were all kept over there.
A barn across the street on one side of South Street, is what you're saying, on this side of South Street.
Yeah, we had a barn right out back of our house and two long chicken houses. None of them had animals in.
And then across the street you
had
your
house. And then across the street was the cattle barn and the big garage.
Tell me about the animals. They were cattle. What happened to them?
Well, they were herd.
How many cattle? Do you have any idea how many cows you had at that point?
I think about 25. Mm-hmm. Some of them, none of them were killed outright. Some of them were hurt, and some of them, of course, had to be put away afterwards.
Did the barn crash down on them at all? Or
yes. Yes, and... they were protected to some extent by the metal stanchions.
Keep things from falling right on them. How, and Bob, did Bob see his house fly away at that point?
He didn't know what, he couldn't see. You see, between him, he was kind of down below, and besides, there was debris from everywhere, trees, boards, furniture. He stayed there, and then he started again for the house. And of course, he had to climb kind of to get through. And he got up to his parents' house and checked to see if they were all right. And they had been hurt. But anyway, he looked over, and his house was gone. And I guess it must have been pretty tense. He had no idea what he would find when he came across the road.
What did he find when he came?
He found his family safe in the cellar, and he couldn't believe it.
Yeah, you were standing there saying, the house is gone.
Here we were. Didn't know what to do next. And I don't know whether we called or whether he looked down in there, or whether he heard. I really don't know why he looked in the cellar, but anyway, he found us and jumped down in, and of course tried to put his arms around everybody.
Must have been an incredible reunion at that point.
Yes,
what a scene that was, that you were unharmed and all right.
And
you're saying that your in-law's house actually was across the street then, is that what you're saying? You are now?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
they faced each other. What happened after that, Jane, or what had happened?
Well,
What was the state of the town at that point? How else had people been harmed? And what was the next step to rebuild? And what happened after the tornado?
Well, that first thing he did, the people, the Quinns, were hurt quite badly. And he went over there and took care of them. And there were people killed, as you know.
I know that the
Aaronsons, somebody there, and a hired man, and then somebody down on Flanders Road, Cape. And then the tornado hit here and jumped up and then went, whatever it does, and then went down at Flanders Road and then went down in Fayville again and did some damage. And that was its last bounce.
Kind of went across Cedar Swamp and away,
and
then
up,
hit down.
Up in the air and then down again, and then up in the air and down at Fayville.
So the
first thing, of course, was to take care of the people who had been injured and hurt. And then everybody had a place to stay with neighbors or friends, because that was the next thing for the night. Then, of course, they brought in the National Guard right away to patrol the places.
To prevent people from looting? I don't know if there are any houses almost cut in half or anything, but were there personal goods spread all
everywhere.
Over? What was the scene
everywhere.
Of South Street? What did it look like from here? Trees uprooted?
Yes, and just complete devastation. Everything mixed together. Cars and pianos and trees and baby carriages and furniture and... just everything in just all and everywhere.
Yeah.
Of course, that night the chainsaws went all night. And I'll tell you, that's a sound that still bothers me. I don't know. There's just something about the chainsaws, because trying to sleep, and they were trying, of course, to get roads through, because the road was all blocked. So at that time there were no people walking around, because or driving around, you couldn't, and then they wouldn't let them come down South Street.
They were sawing down the trees that were in the roads to clear the roads to be able to help. And then did you have anything saved? Something was picked up, and were any of your furniture, or was it a stove or something?
We had appliances, our stove and our refrigerator. The furniture, I don't think there was a stick of furniture. Or dishes or anything of that kind. We did get some of our clothes. We found our clothes right in the closets. The whole thing had gone. So there it was, all just packed in the closet, in the same you'd find a dresser drawer, and the clothes were all just like you put them in there.
Just piled up, but
they
no,
hadn't blown around. But
no closet, just a pile of clothes
right,
as you
right,
had hung them up.
Right.
And that's where they landed.
So we did get some of our clothing.
Was there anything left, really nothing left untouched, or anything picked up and put down? Everything was kind of, your car is gone.
The car, it was sitting, instead of being here in the garage, it was out there in the field and pretty banged up. We couldn't use it. We had to get it.
So that first night you remember the chainsaws, and there's a whine with
there's
the chainsaws
just
also.
There's just something about it.
When you said they didn't let people in, what is that?
The National Guard, they wouldn't let them come down the streets at all to this particular area.
Mm-hmm.
Sightseers and everybody out, you had to have a reason to come down.
That was all of South Street? They
they didn't let it come from this corner down here, or I suppose from Denny Street either.
This was really the only street, perhaps, that was harmed as far as a public way.
Yes.
The others came across fields and across the woods.
I don't... Ruggles Street, there were not trees down Ruggles Street.
And as far as building again, how How long did that take, and what types of things had to be done?
The first thing we had to do was get a cow, get a barn for the cows, of course. We had to find somebody to take our cows and milk our cows, or someplace where they could be put in a barn, or tied up, I should say, not put in a barn, but tied up so they could be milked.
Mm-hmm.
And
you found
then,
that?
Bob's parents began building right away. They were in by fall, I would say.
How long did it take to clean up the debris, though?
That was terrible. But we had to get in the bulldozers.
It must have been hard for your children, too. Did they have any repercussions or fears after that about storms? Or their party bunch, then?
They, I didn't.
They lost
just,
everything that
yes,
was dear to them,
yes,
too.
But our whole emphasis was that our lives were saved.
And a miracle,
so,
almost.
I don't remember them even mentioning a favorite toy.
The fact that you were all right.
No cry, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which to us was a miracle.
That's right.
And that...
it's the only explanation.
Yes. Yeah, it was. It was.
Amazing. And therefore, it took a long time to clean up.
Yes.
Clean up.
Yes. And all the trees were gone. And it seemed as if after that storm, the sun shone and shone and shone. It was so hot. And
in
we'd
June,
come down
again.
And try, and going through the summer, and to try and clean up without any shade, and find what we could, to save what we could, and push the rest into a pile, or... And the houses that weren't down had to be taken down.
They were just... Too far damaged, yes, to be able to stand,
yes,
and to rebuild on them.
Yes.
And six houses.
Yes.
When was your house built again then? Did you?
We didn't get back into ours for a year.
It's a long time.
We stayed at Kirkside. They offered us Kirkside for the summer.
Now, was Kirkside open
Kirkside,
at that time?
The church had it for a Sunday school. And they said we could live there.
This is
and
8
so
Church Street, right? 8 across from the...
Right,
8 Church Street,
yes,
is Kirkside. And did you live there?
Yes. Bob and I and our family and Jim and Janet and their two children all spent the summer there.
The Harvey family, brothers and family.
Yes, right.
And then we
spent the winter in a Quonset hut up on Fisher Street. We rented. We didn't know where to go. We didn't know how to go. But we didn't get back in our house until about, I think it was July of 54.
Mm-hmm.
We went into our house. Jim got into his house about Christmas time.
Now, was it this house that you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Now, was the house that was picked up, was it right? Was it across the street or here?
Yeah.
It's
we
here.
We built on the same foundation.
You built on the same foundation, which is, this is the north side of South Street, is it? Whatever.
West.
West side of South Street. That's right.
South
can't
South
be on the north side of South Street.
West side of South Street. No, we built right on the same foundation.
And your in-law's house would have been...
Right where Jim's house is
across
now.
The
he
way.
Built, yes.
He built
on the same, that gray house over there. He built on that foundation. And then we owned the field anyway, so Bob's parents built a new house here, the little white one down there. And
but it took more than a year to get back?
It does, yes. Well, you see, at that time, of course, Bob was had the responsibility for the business. And there were lots of things to take care of. He didn't have the time.
Now, what did you do with your animals? Did they continue to be
well,
in a different barn?
Yes. Somebody, we had to take them somewhere else and could tell you. I don't even know where they went. Who said they had room for them? But anyway, we kept them there until we could get...
And where was the barn? Was there a barn built here across the way? Or?
Behind Jim's house. That was put right back. I'm sure there were things that they could salvage in the barn, but mm-hmm. It is... The wooden part is off.
Where was your barn in relation to the house, the one that went off?
Right at the end of this driveway, right straight back.
Okay, in the middle of the field.
Right off. So that you went right straight to the barn, and then the chicken houses were out there where our garden was. The man that we bought the farm from used to raise chickens, so they were there. And of course, they were full of whatever you put into any empty buildings.
That's right. Wow. Now, as far as the town itself, were there any rescue operations? Was there a Red Cross or anything like that opened up for help? Was the town hall workers come in? I think that supposedly they had hired some people, or maybe it was the National Guard. But you most people in Westboro sounded like they were helped by families and neighbors.
Absolutely.
People came
through. Our friends, they just did everything for us. They came and helped us clean up. They took our clothes and washed it. They brought food, more food than we could possibly eat. And
that's when you see people at their best.
Yes, there's no question about it. I don't remember outsiders at all, and they would just... And they took, people gave us furniture and things, and others stored it for us until we had a place. We hardly knew where we had things. Ruthie Bullard had a lot of things down in her cellar, but Gilmore's, I don't know whether you know Dick and Ruth Gilmore, they had things in their barn. And
that again is an inspiring thing, to see people work together and to help.
This was the best part of it. Way they just rallied around the way the church said we could live there. The first night after the tornado, Bob's sister and her husband, Greg and Alma O'Neill, had five children and said, come over and stay, and we stayed. I don't know where,
where you put everybody.
There were beds. There was just no question about it. And Janet, of course, went to her parents who live in town. And Bob's parents went to Martha Smith's house over here and stayed there until their house was built.
Something that you certainly will not forget.
No,
ever.
This,
and a very rare occasion
yes.
in New England, too.
Yes. I do think when you see on the television that devastation left from either a tornado or a flood or anything, all I can think of, oh, those poor people, I know what they're going through, the cleaning up, I would have walked right away from the whole thing, mm-hmm. only people did come around and offer to help and go through it. To me, it was just one great big mess. There wasn't anything there I wanted, but they came and worked. Sorted and found things.
And found
that we could.
Utensils and small things and things that weren't broken. But it took months? All summer?
Oh, yeah, it must have taken at least a month. I would say kind of a month to clean up, and then they started building.
It's an incredible story, Jane. Thank you for telling it. You told it to the third grade, and what was their reaction, the young children's reaction?
They were very interested. They were very quiet. They didn't have many questions when it was over, it seemed. They were well prepared before I went in, of course, mm-hmm. of what it was going to be about. And
also the fact you had children with you at the time when
in
the tornado.
Yes, and I played that up.
Brave and helpful and
yes.
come through something. And usually you don't expect a disaster. No one ever expects a disaster, but living in a small farm
as it
area,
was then.
Quiet, mm-hmm. time. You don't expect a tornado to come ripping through and change your life. But your life relatively went back to the pattern that you had before.
It did.
Which is lucky.
It kept right on, as a matter of fact.
Cows to be milked.
That's right. When you're in that kind of a business, that was the first thought. The cows had to be milked. They had to be milked that night, and they had to be milked the next morning. And this was our living. It wasn't just that's the care they need. If the we had to have money coming
so
in.
You were a dairy yes. farm as yes. Yes.
As we had job. To. We depended on the milk check, and then they did deal in cattle too. But it was that the milk check was the stable thing that came every month, and there were three families that. That's what I say. Bob was pretty busy to get that going again,
sure.
and haying and what they could. Of course, oh, that was something. Boy Scouts went through our hay fields and picked up small pieces of wood and all so that we could use the fields. That
so that you mean when you cut,
did.
When
yeah.
you cut it, it wouldn't be harmed,
yes.
the wood would
yes.
not
yes.
hurt the cutting machine. That's something you don't think about,
no.
but that was important for your cattle. And the hayfield was the one
there's,
beside
there's,
here?
Yes, there was one here, and then there's a big one out back at Jim's.
Hmm.
They just went over all of it, volunteered again.
And did your husband Bob have to milk the cows that night, the next morning? Did he get someone to help him, or when those cows
I don't think he milked them that night.
But
the
next
sure, he
morning.
Was up the next morning and off. I didn't see much of him.
He was busy, yeah, of course, but that...
After he found out we were all right...
back to work.
That
right?
was, yes, that was it. I mean, he had other things to do, and...
And particularly
and the
when
the kids
they're,
were all right, and
And when you're dealing with animals and other living things, you can't ignore them. You can't put a briefcase away and say, I'll do that later.
That's
those
right.
animals need,
right.
need care
is,
immediately.
Yes.
Incredible. Now, where did you sell your milk? Do you know where that went at all? When was it a dairy that picked it up?
Yes. Yes, they came to the barn and picked it up. I guess we were selling to Hood at that mm-hmm. time. We did. For a long time. But that was quite... That was another story of getting that all straightened out and getting that so that they could keep on going.
They'd have to pick the milk up at a different place,
yes.
right? And
somebody must have helped out that way to bring it back. I don't know where they got the milk. That was when we were shipping in cans, of course, so you'd have to find the milk cans. And
That's right. Your cans were gone?
Yeah. Somewhere. They weren't where they were supposed to be.
Somewhere in Cedar Swamp or who knows where. So that's a whole nother building up a business,
yes.
which is so that you lost more than your house,
yes.
your business as well.
Yes.
Dairy business.
Yes.
That took a lot of putting back together again. Incredible. And did you continue in the dairy business quite a while after that? Or
until 67.
So it was?
Yes, 14 years.
So build it all up again. It's an amazing story, Jane. Thank you.
You said our lives went on the same. The next Sunday was Children's Sunday at church. And at that time, I still hadn't found clothes. And always, my children had new outfits for Children's Sunday. This is what I can remember. The children going in dungarees. And I was told afterward that it brought tears to the eyes of some of the people to see them there dressed like that, you know.
They're so used to seeing the Harveys all.
Yeah, and at that time, we had a big family and a smaller church, and it was quite noticeable. Everybody knew everybody else.
Could have brought tears to their eyes to see them alive, Jane,
yes,
too. That may
yes,
have been
the idea that
they're standing.
That made them, yeah, that made them think, well, look, what they've been through, and here they are. But they
kept on going.
They went to school in the fall, and everything just went along. It wasn't...
So then...
We didn't...
Hopefully we don't have, we've had a few tornado warnings after that.
Yes, we have.
But, and that
yes.
must.
Now they do give out the warnings.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any reactions to those? You seem pretty hardy, pretty.
No, I don't, because if the situation was ever duplicated, I probably would worry, but there's no sense in worrying about it beforehand.
Right.
When it comes, you react, and it's over, and I don't expect that that'll happen again.
I doubt
something
it.
May something else may happen.
Nothing
but,
quite like
but that's that.
That. None of the Harvey family had any insurance at this time, so therefore it took a good 10 years to rebuild without any homeowner insurance or disaster insurance. This was a very devastating experience to all of them.
Hello.
Now this is Bud Witherell, who, what did you do during the tornado? What was your duties in connection with it in 1953?
I was the Red Cross Disaster Chairman. That was the title.
Now, was it just for this particular disaster that they established this, or did you work
I was with the Red Cross as a as vice president of the local chapter. And the tornado came, and they didn't have any organization for it. They didn't have a disaster chairman in town even. And we went out to a meeting, and someone said, we've got to have a disaster meeting that next night.
Was this the day after? It happened on a Tuesday,
yeah, this
June
was the
9th.
Day after, wasn't it, really?
So this would be...
Well, I don't either. I've forgotten the day. Well, what was that night?
The Red Cross workers were there. They've gotten there. The national...
Now, what kind of work would the Red Cross be doing, and what...
We had two workers from the National Red Cross from Virginia, and
they came in. They were called in.
They were sent in by. Oh, I don't know. Did the selectmen? Did it just because of a calamity in Boston and Worcester that brought them in here? How they came in?
Now, did they set up something for the families that didn't have homes? Was it someplace in the town hall or something?
We were set up in the Eli Whitney School.
Right on Grove Street.
Right on Grove Street, yeah.
And what was the setup? What were you prepared to do, or what did you do there?
Well, we were set up there, and they were also set up at the high school, too, where they were fed.
No.
Now, how many people did you have to help? I know that
there was two workers from the national headquarters.
Now, how many people in Westboro were harmed? There were quite a few that were without homes.
Yes.
I think that there were. I know that there were six houses that on South Street that were demolished.
I have those figures here in a minute. I can't read well.
Okay.
Not yet. I haven't got my new glasses. Was inside our office. Those are the two national workers. In the high school was set up the canteen.
Which was for food?
Which was fed.
Three meals a day? Was it three meals a day, or was it just dinner?
Lunch and supper. I don't know if they did breakfast or not.
And
I can't remember now. I was down there for... I'm telling you, I had the meals here. How many meals we served.
Do you know who was eligible for meals, for instance? Who would you do this for?
It was basically for the people who had no way to get their meals. The restaurants were out, of course, and that meant there were marginal people who live in tenements and like that that had to come in.
Why were the restaurants out?
Well, the power and everything was on.
See, I didn't know. Tell me what happened. I have no idea what happened. The tornado went through on this Tuesday night, and what happened in the town is in your memory? Just the power went out?
Yeah. The power was all out, yeah.
For how long? A couple of days?
I don't know, but I was wanting baby's bottles because I could get...
Oh, there was, yeah, it was two or three days. I may be able to find it here, yeah. Now, is there anything on there that gives, that perhaps gives cost of some of this stuff?
Mm-hmm, the cost of the fund total emergency repairs were $4,990,000. 5 deaths, 10 hospitalized, 100 injured. Total homes destroyed, I guess this is the entire thing, is 100.
That's in Westboro.
And badly damaged, 100. 100 houses destroyed, but I thought it was only 6 or so, or 7
well,
houses
look,
destroyed.
Well, look, some of the, six, more than 6 or so on some of these pictures, I think.
I know that 6 were taken down on South Street, but 100?
Some were repaired.
Repaired.
Why?
When they... When they say badly damaged, 100, too. Incredible.
Well, that's down Flanders Road there.
So,
okay. Destroyed. No, I don't think the 100 are destroyed, but that was...
Or badly damaged.
They were badly, a lot of them badly damaged.
And 5 people died, you know?
I can tell you who they were. I can't give you the names of
people who died. There were how many at Aronson's?
4.
Mother and a daughter.
Mother and daughter.
And I am man.
Father, the mother, and the daughter. I think I got that. That's all down here. That's all down here. If I can. I can't see my, these notes are not in order. They're not in order at all. And so many hundred of the telephone and electric workers that were in town.
They came in to repair things.
They came in to repair emergency crews from across the nation, actually.
How about the
Arizona,
State
Texas.
State Guard, they were here too.
State Guard was in here. Now, technically, they were, don't need to write this in, technically, a lot of those were supposed to. They had money, they were being paid extra for that duty like that. But very few of them did.
And you provided
some
meals?
They didn't even, we had dishes on the counter, and they didn't even throw, some would throw a quarter in the sun, but a lot of them didn't even throw a nickel in. They said they hadn't eaten a meal.
But it seemed like, how long were they here? About a week or so? It says here that you served meals for 6.5 days.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah. That's long as we kept the canteen open.
And this canteen, now people came in, people who couldn't eat in restaurants that had been, people who were without homes or had damaged homes.
And people working here, all the emergency crews for the electric and telephone companies.
Now, the electric lines, where were they down? Mostly South Street, is that what happened?
Well, they were down.
We had no problem.
They're down all
of them. Because a tornado had a specific path, so.
Yeah, they were down and the trees ran down all over the place. When I came home that night, we couldn't get down Otis Street. See? Trees were down, we went down a little ways, and the trees are all down there. It was broader than just down through South Street. Milk Street, I had to leave the fellas off. They had to walk into town. There was no way we could drive down into town when we came home that night.
Was it the high winds that blew other trees down beside those that were in the path of the tornado, or?
Well, it was quite, it's quite wide. I don't know if we got the sides of it here or not, anyway. The path was fairly wide.
Yeah, so that there were trees down. Was there flooding as well at all? Or
no flooding.
No flooding.
No flooding, no.
But electric wires down, telephone wires
electric
down.
There's an article somewhere through here on what work the telephone electric companies did, how many poles they put up that were knocked down, hundreds of them actually, hundreds of poles. And went right down through Flanders Road, like I showed, I had a picture a minute ago. One of the women that was killed,
Mrs.
Cahill down there,
Yeah, and Flanders Road was devastated then. Now, you were also feeding the people without homes and that had damaged homes, and they had to be given a place to stay, but did they stay with neighbors mostly and relatives?
The Red Cross didn't particularly, and there didn't seem to be a need of it. set up any emergency shelters.
No, they had those in Worcester, but not
here. Had them in Worcester, but we didn't have any out here.
No, I think they found homes.
I think all the people went into private homes. Everybody had a neighbor somewhere, see, or a cousin, or some relatives. I don't think there's anybody that was, didn't have a place to go.
What about clothing and things like that?
Oh, no. We had clothing coming out of our ears.
Why?
Because they called for clothing and people brought it in.
They brought Paul Kyle up from London.
They brought truckloads of it in. And the Red Cross doesn't usually give out secondhand clothing. We bought new clothing where it was necessary. They went up there. People went up there and helped themselves. Where was it? Eli Whitney? Downstairs or something. I had two or three rooms there with big tables just piled with stuff. And people went through and helped themselves. A lot of them, I don't know, it was even in the tornado.
Do you remember the children in church the next day? And then the tornado, they had their old sweatshirt or something on because they had lost it.
Jane Harvey was saying it was Children's Sunday and the children showed up in all different kinds of clothes that day.
Do you have a copy of this sermon that day?
I got an article by Ken Brooks.
According to this, there were, in Westboro, 32 houses destroyed, 42 damaged with major damages, and 150 with minor damages. There were 7 deaths.
There's 7 deaths reported, but I can't find the names of at least one or two of them.
Mm-hmm. And 12 hospitalized. 15 with major injuries and 103 with minor injuries. 2,800 public trees damaged and 1,400 private trees damaged and 23 miles of highway damaged. Now, when they're talking about the highway that damaged, where was that?
Those were the streets, different streets in town. I mean, it'd be a whole, so they ran right out on the street, good part of that. Not the whole road wouldn't be damaged all the way. It'd be damaged in sections so you couldn't get through and use it.
Torn up by the...